Hey guys, thanks for joining us for another episode of Vaping and Venting. Today we have on a good buddy of mine, the first guy to kind of take me under his wing in this industry, and someone a lot of you definitely know, Jimmy Raymond. How are you doing, Jimmy?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing good, man. Always good to catch up with you. If anyone doesn't really know, Jimmy was back in the days where I took over the vape shop owners B2B and wasn't the most liked, probably still not, but you know, I digress. Anyways, Jimmy was the first one to reach out, become really a customer from that group, and then of course has a champion lifelong. You know, his former manager works for us now. As one of our sales and customer service associates. And yeah, Jimmy's fantastic. You know, he's gone through the whole process of you know, owning tons of retail, whether it be liquor or vape, and now is more on the B2B wholesale manufacturer side. So Jimmy, run me through how we've gotten to this point, or the very beginning. How did you get into retail? You know, I know you started out kind of owning shops, and you know, manufacturing e-juice to here. So what was the start, I guess?
Yeah. So, I think it was like 2012. Yeah. 2012, a buddy of mine called me up and, you know, said that, a buddy of his had opened up a vape shop up in San Pedro, here in Southern California, and he was doing really well with it, and he wanted to know if I wanted to open up a shop with him, because, you know, I had a lot of retail experience owning retail stores. You know, I came from liquor right before vape, but before that, like, I did, you know, I've done everything from $9.99 and under clothing stores. I did bicycle store, you know, then the liquor stores, you know, so I had a lot of retail experience with owning and running a retail business. And so, I didn't even know what vape was at the time. Like, I had no idea. I was actually riding passenger. My wife was driving, and I told my buddy, I'm like, I'll call you back in a couple minutes. Let me look it up. And I looked it up on Google, and it's like, you know, people were stopping smoking and using it as a smoking alternative and everything like that. And at the time, like, I was smoking two packs of cigarettes a day. So I was like, yeah, absolutely, I want to try this. Like, because if this works for me, like, then I know that, like, this will be a great thing. You know, we'll help a lot of people and we'll make a lot of money, because, you know, it's a solution to a lifelong problem. You know what I mean? That our country faces is, you know, this smoking addiction to combustible nicotine. So I was all about it. You know what I mean? And don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not one of those guys that always said, oh, I did this for the, you know, this extravagant rainbow cause or anything like that. Like, I did it for the cause of, you know, bettering the community around me, but also to make a substantial money to support my family. So, you know, of course, I didn't think it was going to take me on the ride that it did. You know what I mean? But what a wild ride it's been since then. Like, we started with one store, and we had that store open for, I think, like 2 or 3 months. And I didn't understand why, like, some stores were like, here in Southern California, in San Diego County, there was probably over 140 to 180 stores that had opened up within a 6 month time frame. And I didn't understand why some stores were really busy and some stores, you know, weren't. And so I just spent one entire day going around to stores that we knew were busy throughout San Diego County. And I realized that the one thing that they all had in common was they made their own juice. They made their own juice line. So, you know, I started talking to a guy at one of the stores pretty close to me. And, you know, I didn't even let on that I owned a shop or anything like that. And, you know, started talking to him because he was mixing the juice right behind the counter. And mm-hmm. So I was asking him what he was putting in it and everything like that. When he told me it was just food flavoring and, you know, and PGVG and nicotine, I didn't really understand what those components were at the time, but I'm like, definitely the nicotine, but I didn't know you could get it in like a liquid form. So anyways, once he told me it was food flavoring though, I was like, well, I can cook. So, you know what I mean? How different is it from that? And he was like, it's the same exact thing. He's like,
Chef Jimmy.
Yeah, he's like, especially if you can bake like you, like this, it's the same exact thing. So I started doing that, and then like within a matter of like 6 months, like we were looking for a warehouse and, you know, a place to set up a lab and everything like that. Like we were starting to sell a lot of juice, and you know, we ended up adding a bunch of stores both here in California and over in UK. We did, I think at one time we had 8 stores all together between the two countries. And so, you know, just picked up really fast for us. We started doing a lot of the trade shows, and then I started doing a lot of the international trade shows. I made a lot of connections over there, you know, and I already had experience with doing B2B sales, from liquor, from, you know, selling vodka. And, so it just all fell into place for me, you know what I mean? And then it turned out that, you know, I was quickly discovering that a lot of people that were in liquor came into vape too. So, it made it a little bit easier to excel it. And I think it took maybe like 3 years total for us to get like, you know, way past what we had ever envisioned.
Yeah, no, awesome. I mean, if there's anyone who's been in a lot of stores, it's Jimmy Raymond. He may have the record for most stores walked into the nation, because that is a guy who is he's a shop guy for sure. Knowing you, so yes. Well, awesome. Well, so you know, you're e-juice, you know, getting into that, you got e-juice, which is of course your line that's still in production. You don't own it anymore, but that's still in production today, correct?
Yeah, it's owned by a company out of Ohio now.
Okay, understood. I know you got e-juice was a fan favorite by people like Steve Green and a lot of people out there. And that all sprung from you just having your house juice, right? That was effectively your house juice, which then you started distributing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, you know, it took me a little bit. That was a little bit of a learning curve itself, was learning not to put the shop name on the juice bottle. So
understood. Shops probably didn't love that.
No.
yeah. Your advertising. So nowadays you've gone to more of the B2B wholesale side. You're currently with Sugar. So what products currently at Sugar are you representing, and how has that, how has gone from owning 2 stores, you know, well, I guess 8 at your height, you know, to the B2B retail side? How has that been? And how do you think working with you benefits shop owners?
A lot of any specialty segment, right? Whether it's nicotine, whether it's sex toys, whether it's whatever it is, it always requires relationships. So that's really the main thing is, like, when I go and visit stores, yes, I have a specific system that I follow, and it helps me, you know, close more deals, whatever. But it's mainly focused on building and starting relationships with people, because there's sometimes when I go to places and like I create a relationship with them, and then we stay in contact, but we don't do business for, it'll be 6 months, a year or something like that. We don't do business for it. Right. But then like sometimes, you know, they really need additional products, and they get you right on the shelf right away. So it's, you know, it's really more about the establishing the relationships with people. It's not necessarily about the product. It's a lot easier at Sugar for sure than what it was with my own brand, because my own brand, we just had an e-juice line. With Sugar, like, we have, you know, nicotine disposables, we have Delta products, we have, you know, Kratom products, we have nitrous oxide, you know what I mean? So it's like there's multiple different segments that I can service into an account. So it's, you know, maybe I don't hit on the mark right away, but was, you know, sometime down the line, they know that there's, you know, oh, well, it's not just one thing that he's got. But it's a matter of establishing that relationship so that they know what you do, you know what I mean? And then the key thing is you know, it's not necessarily the product. It's me and the service, and, you know, and I'm sure that like the other guys, like, you know, that do what I do, like, you know, like Ryan, Howard, Chris, you know what I mean? Chris Tucker, like they can attest to this too. Like, this is more like about what it is that we can do, but how can we help you determine a solution to a problem? And it's not necessarily I have that solution. I just have a large network to where I can probably plug you in with the person that does have the solution. But as long as I keep that open line of communication all the time, you know what I mean? Then it's easier when someone needs that help that to help them out with that. And then when they need a product, then they always think of you first. But the thing is you're getting the customer service behind the product. Because everybody, I'm like, damn near everybody and their grandma has a disposable now.
Yeah.
Especially because it's, you know, even in the Delta side has gone to completely gone to disposables faster than anything. So it's, you know what I mean? It's nicotine, Delta, whatever, like it, everybody's got it. You know what I mean? It's, and is one product better than the other? I don't know. I kind of have an inside joke with my sales team that like that, you know, there's really no difference between between the products. It's just the branding and the service that the people get behind it.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I kind of go back to what you said. I tell our sales reps the same thing. We've got a few sales reps that recently come on and I'm like, you guys, right. You know, not everyone needs to switch point of sale today, but in 6 months, a year, everyone's going to have a bad day with their point of sale. And it's that relationship you build all the over time. When they ask who they need for insurance, plug them with someone for insurance. They ask for someone, you know, for Delta products or a good wholesaler, plug them with that. And at some point they'll come around. I think I annoyed Sam Oshland for 2 years before he came around, but now he's one of our best customers. Right.
Yeah.
So understand that completely on the relationship side. And, you know, if there's someone definitely well-connected in the industry, how long you've been in here and definitely well-respected in the industry, it's you, Jimmy. So,
thank you.
That's a testament to all you've done over the years and, you know, each company you're with, right. You know, if Jimmy's putting his name in front of something, you know, that carries weight in itself. So, so yeah, man. So with, currently with, you know, I know you've previously been pretty much nicotine only guy since you've gone, to the sales side. But people can also order some of those alternative products and such from you currently at Sugar.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do, you know, I primarily push the nicotine disposables because I still believe in the harm reduction segment, you know, highly.
For sure.
You know, especially now that like, you know, some of my family members are old enough and stuff like that, you know what I mean? And they've been smoking for years and, you know, and then we have, you know, I've got the senior side of my family, like, you know, the grandmoms and stuff like that. Like, you know, just something that's going to, you know, extend their life cycle a little bit. But, you know, but at the same time, like if we got other products too, yeah, of course, I'm going to push that too into my accounts because, you know, it might not be in the topic of discussion for the past 6 months, but, you know, it's just because I didn't bring it up.
Yeah. Well, a man like you who's walking into a lot of stores, having a lot of conversations with store owners, what are you seeing out there that successful stores are doing in comparison to stores that maybe aren't where they want to be?
Yeah. So, you know, this is actually a discussion in several of the Facebook groups several times, and I always bring this up. I've been saying this for years and years and years. Retail is a science, right? Everything inside of a retail store is scientifically put in order to have the best results. And right now, mm-hmm. what's really seeing success is stores that create the atmosphere of convenience. And, you know, you mentioned Sam's stores. I was in Sam's stores last year. I went and visited all of his stores too. And he's just a friend of mine. He's not even one of my accounts. He's one of the other reps' accounts at Sugar. But, you know, the thing is when you walk into his store or any of his stores, and this is a prime example. I always use Sam's stores for this because he's got it exactly right. Your display cabinets can be top of the line or they can be the lowest. I bought them off a Craigslist resale thing. That doesn't matter. It's, you know, it does. But if the store is completely disorganized, then it doesn't matter at all what it looks like. It could be the most high-end store that you've ever paid to have built out. But if it's not organized in a fashion to where somebody can walk in there and find what they're looking for, then they're going to walk out and they're never going to come back, right? And so, you know, and a lot of people say, well, that's impossible. I only have an 800-square-foot store. Well, so what? So what? So spend the $40 on a sign and put disposables. You know what I mean? Above your disposables, put a Delta sign above your Delta. You know what I mean? Or even just put fucking cannabis sign up there. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. But, you know, but the thing is anytime someone can walk into the store and see in the store, I'm like, think about it. When you go to a grocery store or a Walmart or something like that, no matter how many Walmarts you walk in, not one of them is laid out exactly the same as the other. So you look around at the ceiling for the signs to see where the section is that you need to go. You know what I mean?
And to paint a picture for everybody, at the store he's talking about, or the collection of stores, they have large signs in front of every section, whether it's Delta 8, Kratom, vape, e-juice, whatever it is. So at no point are you left wondering, where do I need to look to find the product I want?
Right. Exactly. And a prime example of that is I was in Sam's stores last year, and I forget which location, you know what I mean, because they're not my stores, but I was in one of them, his locations that's in a shopping center. It's right next to a liquor store. And it was, I'm like, he had five employees working there, and there's that still wasn't enough employees to like be one-on-one with every single customer. So I'm sitting in there, you know what I mean? And I'm just sitting off to the side because they're busy. I didn't want to tie up the sales, you know, the sales associates, but you know, people walking in and like, they don't need help. They don't have to sit there and wait for a free employee. They see, you know, somebody walked in, they saw the sign, they walked right over to the section that they wanted, and it was real cut and clear. All the top end high dollar stuff is at the top, the, you know, medium stuff, and then the budget friendly stuff was at the bottom. And the person was able to make a determination with what they wanted and pick it off the shelf and go over to the register and pay for it without needing the assistance. And then was able to ask the questions that they wanted to ask once they got over there, because it sped up the process for them. Nobody wants to go into a vape shop. I'm like, even think about it. When you go into a store for that shoe store, you want to go to the men's section to your size, and you want to find what you want and then get out of there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then same thing in these smoke shops and vape shops. Like, they want to walk in there, find what they want, maybe ask a question at the register and get out of there. They don't want to spend all day in there. You know what I mean? We're not taking the kids clothing shopping or nothing like that.
Yeah.
It's a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. You know what I mean? So
they no longer are the days of really sitting there building out your mod and stuff. People want convenience. They want, you know, it's less of an experience now and more of just a commodity. Right.
Exactly. So, you know, anytime that a shop is doing something like that, and it's, you know, and I don't care, you can have the smallest shop around, but if you put those signs up and make it convenient so that people can go right to there, then it solves the problem. It creates the illusion of convenience, because I hear it all the time. Oh, the gas stations and the 7-Elevens are beating us out. It's a convenience store. The people go there because it's convenient. They know that they know that they're going to pay more. They know that the guy behind the counter doesn't know shit. They like it like that. They don't want somebody to sit there and run their ear off for 5 minutes about a bunch of stuff that they don't care about. They want to go in, get what they want, and get out. And when you can create that atmosphere of convenience inside of a store, then you're going to always win.
Yeah, no, 100% agree. Notice, guys, is he didn't speak about bringing any extra products in, which is refreshing to hear. You know, a lot of, you know, people say, including myself, hey, you should bring in, you know, alternative products, or at least a small selection. He's not even saying that. He's just saying properly merchandise everything in the store to make it as easy as possible on your customers, right? You can stay true to your values by just offering a superior customer, you know, experience. You know, than the store down the street where they don't know where anything is. Right. Right.
And then there's other ways that you can do it inside of there. And I always encourage people to look up the, it's called Retail Science. Okay.
Okay.
If you look that up, there's actually a way to color coordinate your products so that, and I learned this when I was in liquor, Budweiser, my local Budweiser, distributor would have set teams, right? And so what they would do is they would come to your place and take a photo of all of your walk of your reach-in cooler doors, right? And then they would come back a week later and completely rearrange all of your – now, one of my stores, I had 18 doors. So that's a lot of beer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so like only one door was sodas. But they literally came in with a team of five people and reset all of my coolers and color coordinated it to entice a feeling. Right. And yeah. That feeling was shopping, spending more, whatever. And so I literally saw my sales increase by 20%.
And that's due to putting a little more thought into it rather than just putting, you know, your products just nilly willy wherever. Look, and you said this was called Retail Science.
Yes.
Cool. And is that, that's just like a website or a school of thought or
just Google retail set science.
Okay.
Yeah, it shows you color patterns to follow, you know, stuff like that that entices people to shop more and entices people to look more. There's just different ways that you can do it, you know, to set your products up in your store. And I used to do this with the juice wall all the time. You can literally set it so that it has a specific color palette and it creates a thought pattern.
And I can guarantee this is what, you know, the large chains, whether it be, you know, your department stores, your Targets out there are doing this, as well as your large, you know, smoke and vape chains too, are probably already implementing this, right? And if they're not, they should be.
Home Depot has a midnight set team. They come in every 4 weeks and reset.
Guys, take notes for this. This is what your employees should be doing with your guidance whenever there's downtime.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. What are your, I guess, you know, we got a few more minutes. What are your thoughts on, you know, some of these things happening in terms of, you know, state bans? I know you were in California, where of course you guys had a flavor ban in it. You know, very much crippled the industry. You know, what is your advice for these other states? Can you tell, you know, give them a little first person, you know, view of your experience from having one of these flavor bans?
Yeah, so it's rough. I'm like, it's a matter of, you know, obviously you want to get involved with trying to prevent that from happening, whether your state has an advocacy board or not. California, we used to, and then it kind of like it stopped. We used to have a SAFADA here, and we used to have, you know, Northern California and Southern California SAFADA. It, you know, of course, it became too disorganized and it disbanded. But the thing is, you know, I'm like, it's up to you, man, like really to try and get involved and try and get in front of these, you know, these politicians and everything like that to get these things prevented. But if you're, if your state has a advocacy board already, get involved with them, you know what I mean, and figure out what's going on. It's rough once it passes, you know what I mean? You're pretty much just in the process of robbing a bank. It's a matter of how long will you get away with it for? What's the, you know, risk to reward type of deal? What do I think it's going to do to the industry? We're in the technology industry. So, you know, I'm like, I'm sure that everybody knows that like every 6 months, this entire industry completely flips. So it's not going to, you know what I mean? It's going to be a continuous thing where government is trying to keep up with the amount of advancement in our technology. And then it's going to get to a point to where they're going to come up with a system that's going to work. You know, smoke shops, though, I mean, if you really look at it, we've come full circle, right? Smoke shops have been around since the 70s, 60s, whatever. Then we got into specialty nicotine stores where it was just tobacco stores. Then vape became popular and we got into specialty vape stores. Now the vape shops are struggling, so a lot of them are switching out to the smoke shop model. You know what I mean? So it's been around forever. I don't really see it going away. It's just going to change. The key to it, if you want to stay in business, my opinion, is to always stay ahead of the curve and figure out what the next thing is. I'm like, even look at like some of the cash and carries and stuff. Like, they don't just rely on one segment. They constantly look for the next thing that they can, you know, flip or sell or whatever, get, you know, through their cash and carry. And you know, if you walk into a cash and carry that's been around for a minute, they've got everything across the board, from backpacks to water pipes to tobacco to vape, you know, everything you can think of.
Nylon bags, yeah, everything.
Yeah. So it's just understood, man. You have to stay ahead of the curve, man. If you just sit there with your head down, you know, behind the counter and, you know, put in your weekly orders and never really know what's going on. Because I can tell you, I do know that there's, you know what I mean? And I understand that a lot of people that have these stores, that's not their only business that they have. So that, you know, they get a little bit tied up. But the people that do, that this is their primary thing, like, I can tell you that there's still probably about 50 to 60% of shop owners that just aren't aware of what's going on in their state.
Yeah. And with that, you know, even aside from the state, you know, shop owners, take samples from your reps, try them, give them to your employees to try, right? There's a million products out there, and there's a million new products out there. And reps are, you know, want to get those in your hands. Yes, they can be annoying. They can call your shop a lot, right? You know, Jimmy's a relationship guy. But, you know, in order to build that relationship, there's got to be an initial conversation. So, you know, my advice is try the new products. If you're not into whatever the product is, give it to an employee to try. And you know, give people a chance, right? You never know what item or what product or what new juice line your employees could love. Unless you try it out, you know, there's no real market testing. Every market's different. So, well, awesome, right, Jimmy. You got anything else for our listeners before you hop off?
No, I think it's good to go.
Well, definitely appreciate the time, Jimmy. You know, look forward to seeing it again. I'm sure you'll be at one of the champs, whether it be Chicago or Vegas in the next few months. So great to talk with you, man. Well, I'm sorry, what was that?
I'm usually at all of them.
yeah, you're a staple. So awesome, Jimmy. Well, thank you for the time, and thank you for everyone for listening to this episode of Vaping and Venting. Hope you guys have a great day. Tune in a couple of weeks for the next episode.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate you.
No problem.